Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Momentarily, we're going to have Michael McHenry on. Paul, I got a question in the mailbag this week. One pirate pitcher from modern history that you would choose to pitch one game to win it all. Who would it be? Say from 1960 to today. So anybody from Vern Law to Bob Friend to John Candelaria, I mean, Steve Blass, Doug Drabeck, Paul Skeens.
Wait, one game to win? Wait, you're saying one game to win?
Yes, one game to win.
I have to win it, so it means it's a big, important game?
Yes.
I mean, I hate to say it. I'm probably going Madison Bumgarner.
No, one pirate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that.
That's okay.
I'm
going Steve Blass. Don't you have to? He won games 3 and 7 of the World Series. Anyway.
Yeah, how about, obviously that, but how about, Bob Walk? Remember in the...
He was a big game guy.
He was a big game guy for them. I mean, it is what it is.
Is Michael McHenry on video here?
Yes, I was just waiting
for you to
intro it.
There he is. I love this. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Good.
There he is.
Steve Blass, Bob Walk, no Gerrit Cole, the guy that's somehow magically coming back from Tommy John today?
Could be Gerrit Cole. We're talking one pirate pitcher from 1960 to win a game to save the world. Could be Paul Skeens.
I guess he wasn't born yet, huh?
Well, no.
No, we're saying from 1960
From 1960
on.
To today.
Ah, okay.
Any pirate right. pitcher.
I would either go with Gerrit Cole. I'd go Gerrit Cole all the way.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. He'd be a nice choice, wouldn't he, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, you could go, you couldn't go wrong there. But didn't the Harvey Haddix... Technically, didn't he play in the 60s, I think?
He did. He had one incredible game. Michael, you look great out there with the... tell us about the hat. Where'd you get that? You have a great hat game, by the way.
Stop it.
You do.
It's actually an all-star sporting goods. It's a catching company. In my opinion, the best of the business. They do a lot with me with charities and different things. Stan and Stan Jr. are still heavily involved in the company. They've owned it for years. It's family-owned in Boston. I can't speak highly enough about him. If you know anything about catching, you love these guys.
Love it, man. I love it. You and...
We'll have to get you one.
Please do that, myself and Paul.
Absolutely.
You and Stephen Brawl do a great job of breaking down these games on television. You and Stephen both. And last night, it was the immediate breakdown afterward of how Skeens changed his... approach after the first inning. And I'm wondering, Michael, does that usually come from the catcher? It might have come from the pitching coach or Skeens. Where does that, when you radically change your approach like that, where does it come from usually?
Well, usually with guys that are in their rookie season or early on in their career, a lot of times it comes from the catcher or the coaching staff. But with this guy, he is so prepared. He understands himself so well, and he sees the game, honestly, probably in 8K. He is making those adjustments along with the catcher, which is even more advanced than most guys that, maybe can do it on their own. He understands that he's got to have that reliability and that battery mate and also that staff that he's got to kind of, I guess, finagle with at times to, make sure that he doesn't look like he knows everything. I mean, this guy's so far advanced, it's remarkable. And I really appreciate you saying everything about me and Steven. He's been a joy to work with. I think we're going to be friends for a long time, and we call ourselves the battery. We try to work each other off, so it's funny you ask that question.
Has he sang for you guys yet on set? Because he's, I guess, he's an opera singer by trade as well, yes?
Yeah, he sings quite often, and usually off camera, and I'm like, just break out into song mid-breakdown.
He should.
I'll throw a beat in the background. I mean, I just think it'd be a thing. Maybe we start a band over there.
I'm going to go on tilt if I have to watch Grandal. And you're a catcher, so you can come up. You can probably talk about this. But if I have to watch Grandal throw from his knees a lollipop that allows another team to steal a base or whatever, or, you know, it seems like the pitcher has to work so hard to catch his throws because they're all over the place. What is happening here with his throws? I can't watch it anymore.
There's a lot that goes into it. I mean, we all know about the thing. We all know about different things that could be. It could be a hand problem, could be a shoulder problem, could be a lower extremity. And he's just in his own way. He's worked through these things before. And the thing is, we're winning. You know, when we're winning those games, it really doesn't matter as long as it's not full effect. Like last night, we saw two pickoffs. He threw a ball down. He threw it from his knees. There's a reason he's throwing from his knees, because normally when a guy has trouble, you know, getting back to the pitcher, if you can get up, create some rhythm and throw, if nothing else, as soon as you get up as a catcher, it's going to push that runner back. But they're trying to time it up. They're trying to do different things. So they're going to continue to look at things, do different things. But I'm telling you right now, Grandal does not only prepare as good as I've ever seen. I don't know if anybody's ever prepared better in this game when it comes to having a game plan, having a deviation course for these guys. It's been fun to watch him kind of put together his work of art. He's a different breed when it comes to that. This guy cares with all of his heart. So I try to give him all the grace of the world. But, yeah, it is tough to see. I've been there. Everybody's been there that's, you know, caught before. And he's just got to work through it. As long as we're winning and it's not affecting us too much, I think you're going to see him back there kind of getting through it because we need him.
Michael McHenry on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Getting back to Skeens, Michael, I imagine when you're watching him, you probably think to yourself once in a while, man, I would love to have caught him. How deep is this arsenal, and how remarkable is it for a kid this young to be able to say, all right, my 100-mile-an-hour fastball, they're sitting on that, so I'll go to a splinker and a curveball and a changeup and how many other pitches? I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this from a guy this young. You?
No, never. He's an oddity. He's from Asgard. That's where Thor's from. This guy's just not normal. Yeah, I'd love to catch him. I hope I can make that happen at some point just to see what it feels like, see the movement, and see how consistent those patterns are on all of his pitches. But last night, I mean, five pitches had swing and miss. Every pitch has a whiff rate of over 35%, which is way, way above league average and close to a lead on every pitch. I mean, you're talking about somebody that's unprecedented when it comes to stuff, understanding, and the fact that he started throwing his changeup last night just out of the blue. He's only thrown it five times in most games. He threw it 10 times last night. He got two swing and misses, 49 exit velocity on it. And then the last start was a breaking ball that he just brought out of nowhere. Once again, only threw four max in any game, threw 19 in that game. He's always doing different things. He's always working. And one of the coolest stories I've heard about this kid is at the end of the year last year, they did the end of year meetings. They have this giant list of like, hey, here's where you need to improve. Here's how you can do this and that. He actually started the meeting and then they threw the list away because his list was so self-aware and understood that I don't know if they could have wrote it better.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. Mike, you've obviously watched Bailey Falter all year, and you know, he goes tonight. He was really, really good for about 6 weeks or whatever. His last two starts, he only made it four innings. I think he gave up a total of something like nine runs or something. But when he's good, what is he doing? And when he's not so good, what is he doing?
So you guys know the strike zone quadrants, right?
Yes.
Bailey Falter has to live at the top three, bottom three, and then go in and out. That middle three, he gets hit really hard. And I mean, when I say hard, I mean really, really hard. It's his ball flattens out. He plays off an extension with low spin. It's very different. Another thing that he didn't do his last few starts that I was really confused by is he didn't throw that sinker into lefties. If you look at his splits, lefties actually hit him better. And it's because he's not a typical lefty, doesn't throw many pitches like a lefty, and he flattens out when he gets there, and lefties can really hit him, but so can righties. But the one advantage to the righty is everything he throws mostly is on that glove side into righty. So he's constantly keeping them on notice. But having that ability to throw that changeup or that sinker away that plays like a changeup into lefty, away to righty, at the bottom of the zone, and then getting to the top is so important for him.
Michael, another thing you guys do so well on television is break down swings and how they may have changed over the course of a number of weeks or compared to last season. You do that with video. So I have one that's going well and one that's not going well. Nick Gonzalez, in everyday understandable parlance, what's the big difference for him this season in terms of his approach? And then Key Brian Hayes on the other side. We got a number of questions today, and I asked Shelty about the toe tap. A lot of people said last year it seemed to be a timing mechanism for him, the toe tap, and he flourished like never before. Where has that gone? So let's go with those two guys, Gonzalez and Hayes, and your thoughts.
So I promise next time when I know video, I'll be able to set it down so I can show you. But Nick Gonzalez, he looks more like a Freddie Sanchez or Mike Trout when it comes to his posture. He's more upright. Before, he was hinging in and spinning out. And because of the velocity in Major League Baseball, it worked in college. It worked early on in the minor leagues, but he wasn't able to get his swing off properly consistently. Now, he's become a different animal by standing up, getting in the zone a lot deeper, a lot quicker, which allows him a lot of adjustability. So we're seeing him hit breaking balls he's never hit, stay on pitches he wasn't able to. He's catching up to every fastball because his hands are as good or better than Cutch's were when he was drafted. So this guy has an elite tool, and it's his hand speed and his hand-eye coordination, and he just was not able to, you know, utilize those because he was in a bad position. He changed that position, and it took some time. Started last September, maybe a little bit in August, and then ran with it this winter and did a great job. Now, with Key Brian, you got to first think about the back. Always think about what's going on first. Is the mobility okay? Is the brain okay? And then you go to the movements. And with him, the movements and the back kind of correlate. But, yeah, I'm with you with the toe tap. I think that's something that got him to a place, and then he kind of went back to his old kind of, I guess, floating leg kick that he likes. And that's all just personal preference or personality, but they got to find something that feels comfortable that gets him in the position to attack the ball properly. And I don't see that right now. He's a guy that has seemed to find it every single year. Last year, I thought it was one that was going to click and stay. It seems like that back may have put him off into the, I guess, swamp a little bit.
Well, when you look at a back injury, Michael, and you're trying to play baseball, you're trying to swing properly and all those things, I would imagine, I mean, obviously an arm injury for a pitcher, but in terms of something that can be devastating for a player, a back injury has got to be up there on the list as something that makes it really difficult to play.
100%. I mean, we talk about rotating around your spine, we talk about posture, and you're talking about what keeps you balanced is that trunk. And if you can't rotate around it well, or if you have to nurse it, I mean, that's less swings, that's less throws, that's less ground balls, that's less opportunity to actually work on these things to figure it out. And sometimes it takes thousands of swings. You know, I've been in the cage before taking 500-600 swings and went out and played a game and I was miserable, but then the next day it felt like I found what I was looking for. And sometimes that's what it takes. And I've seen these guys in there for 2 hours at a time trying to figure it out, and then they figure it out. Just because they figure it out, the confidence goes, and within a week, they're raking again.
It feels, Michael, like the league is punching back a little bit anyway on Jared Jones. What's the adjustment you would recommend for him?
Let it play. Let it play. I think it's one of those things, like in Colorado, I think he thought about Colorado. I can't wait to, you know, maybe talk to Oscar, talk to him, and see what exactly he's thinking, because the mentality's there. The stuff is there. It's like, are you reading the swings proper? Are you throwing the right pitch? Are you utilizing that other stuff other than your fastball and your slider? Where's the creativity coming? And I think time is going to be his best friend, because he has Paul Skeens, he has Keller, he has Grandal, he has DeLay. Now, there's a lot of guys. I mean, Henry Davis is super cerebral when it comes to all this stuff. Having that around him and just soaking it in with that mentality it's going to be amazing. But the reality is he got to the big leagues doing his thing. It's going to have to be hit around a little bit, and he's going to have to build some trust because this guy's a warrior. He's going to go out with his spear and his knife, and that's his fastball and slider. He's going to fight. And that's what he's been doing. He's been doing it incredibly well. Now you may see some wrinkle in curveballs, backdoor sliders, a changeup below the zone more consistently because he's gotten punched back and he does not like losing.
Yeah, that's the thing I like about him. That's, I think, the thing I like the most about him is he obviously does not like to lose. You look at the fact that this team has made a bullpen game work at least, what, three or four times now. It's worked for them. Is it, in your mind, something that could be sustainable if they can't get guys healthy, if they struggle, if they need to stretch out, Skeens and Jones, that they want to give them a couple extra days off or whatever? Is this something that is sustainable over the course of an entire season?
1,000%, and they're doing it phenomenally. The only concern for me is bullpen guys, and that type of work is so much different. I mean, when you're out there in the bullpen, you're waiting to pitch, you're probably going to cover 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There, you're covering the whole game, and it really depends on the sandwich games in between. I mean, we had 16 runs in Saturday's game, came out, we had a bullpen game. That's flirting with a little bit of danger, right? If it doesn't go well and Skeens doesn't come out last night, throw six, and we give it to the big boys, it could have been bad. But, like, they did have an incredible plan. They went left, right, left, right. I thought Fleming did an incredible job utilizing a breaking ball in Colorado. Guys don't want to throw the breaking ball. He threw it more than he ever has in his entire career, understanding he had to do something different because they raked lefties in Colorado. So a lot of good things, that the matchups, but the fact that we have a different bullpen, we have guys that are completely different across the board. You look at stuff, release, spin, you can mix and match better than our bullpen's ever been in probably the last two decades. Because we have no similarities, and that's a really good thing.
Paul, may I engage Michael in a game of free association?
Absolutely.
Let's go.
Michael, you've played this, and you've played it well. Better than anybody on your first try many months ago. It was absolutely incredible. Fast questions, fast answers. You ready?
I'm ready.
Best catcher in baseball the years you were playing?
Real Muto.
Best catcher right now?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Ooh. Kid on San Francisco. Kid, Bailey.
Bailey. David Bednar, 100% back?
100%. Maybe better than ever.
Should Skeens be an all-star?
Yes.
Should Ortiz be a starter?
No.
If you upgrade one area of the team, if you could, at the trade deadline, what would it be?
Luis Roberts.
Ooh, I like that. Rowdy still going to hit 20-plus homers?
Wouldn't put it past him.
Who's the future catcher around here, Endy or Henry Davis?
Both.
Will Henry Davis play another position, or you think he's a career catcher and DH?
I think they both will.
Where will they play?
When they're hitting, Indy will play second, some outfield and first base, possibly. And then Henry Davis, I think, will be another first base option and possibly right field. But I would say first base and some DH.
Interesting. If you're a manager and you're in extra innings, 10th inning, are you a guy who's going to immediately go to the bunt, get him to third, and try to get that run in right away, or let guys hit away?
It depends on who's up in the situation, the matchup, and how they're swinging. If they look like they, you know, aren't very confident, I'm probably going to bunt. If not, I believe my guy's going to drive that guy in from second because he's already in scoring position. And it also depends on the runner. So a lot goes into that situation.
Your all-time favorite umpire is who?
Ted Barrett.
Fair to say your least favorite is Jerry Meals?
Sure.
Thank you, Michael. Great stuff, and great stuff on television again. Really good.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Oh, right. My man, be good.
Take care, man.
All right, see you.
Man, is he good, Paul,
I'm going to tell you, he's...
That's unbelievable.
No, he's really good. Look, we got him. We still got him. Oh, there he goes. I was going to say, we still had him. He was there.
He's got an elite hat game. Did he say goodbye to you, City Limits?
He's doing it right now.
Great man.
A great man. Great man.
I'll tell you this much, too, Joe.
Huh?
He's a classic example of someone who's really grown into becoming very good on TV.
Yes.
And when he first started, it was a little shaky. But he's very good. What I like about him and Steve and Brault, they break down baseball. And if that means being a little critical of the Pirates, it's okay. Because they're breaking down baseball. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I've heard them say things that, you know, basically would call into question certain things going on or whatever. But it's a fine line when you're, you know, and they actually work for Sportsnet, right? They don't work for the team. I'm sure the team has a large input as to who gets hired. But all I'm saying is those jobs, it's delicate. You can't be like, you know, you and I, sometimes we come in here for both cannons blazing, you know, about the Pirates. You can't do that when you have their job. But what I appreciate about them, and I think the best guys in the business, this is what they do. They break down whatever sport it is that they're analyzing. They break it down and they give you, you know, analysis, whether it's critical or not, as opposed to just trying to kiss the fanny of the home team all the time and whatever, you know, giving you a bunch of fluff.
Yeah, and they take the intricate X's and O's stuff. I always say this about the best analysts, and they make it digestible for the everyday person.
Right.
Tunch was great at that, you know, and McHenry's great at it. That's what you want. And he's a very happy man. Isn't he, Limits?
Yeah, he is. Positive, upbeat, and just a lot of good, intricate knowledge about catching, which is something that the Pirates are going through a lot right now.
I would imagine you and him get along great. Two of the happiest men I know.
We do. We had some very good text conversations over the last day.
Really?
Yeah, planning out for being on the show today.
Perhaps it's a wonderful friendship that's evolving here.
I would hope so.
Do you think so, Paul?
Like, what if I go to the ballpark in the next couple of days and I go, Michael, I start
You'll
waving to him
yeah,
to the
of course.
Set.
You're getting noticed now by fans when you're on vacation. You're developing a friendship with Michael McHenry.
How about...
It's all coming up roses for City Limits.
Somebody, delivery driver dropped off a package to the house, and obviously I wasn't here this week. So a family member told me, like called me right away and said, you're going to want to hear this. The delivery driver saw my name and said, as soon as they saw, I think it was my mom, Is this where City Limits lives? I said, yes. That is incredible.
Paul, it's all happening here.
Yes, he's
real
becoming
time
a star.
With this guy.
That's good, too.
Yeah, he said he was a big fan.
I love it.
Pretty soon, he'll be more famous than Donnie Football.
That's going to be tough.
That will be very tough
to
do.
Donnie Football isn't a person. He's a brand at this point.
He'll be more famous than Callis.
He's changed his last name to football.
That could happen.
Harry Callis.
Callis is trying to be the more famous one by buying a bus. Have you heard about this?
A school bus, yeah.
I did hear about the bus.
Are you in favor of that, Paul?
I mean, it's on brand for him, isn't it? Doing something goofy like that.
What do you? And by the way, I live on the same street as Harry Callis.
Do you?
Right, so if you see a bus on your street rolling down the hill.
Are you going to park the bus on the street? And he said probably behind the house. But what do you do with a bus, Paul? As a 25-year-old guy, living with your folks, you bring a school bus home.
I don't know.
You going to give tours of the city? What are you going to do?
Yeah, maybe. You know what you could do? You could take it and make money with it Friday and Saturday night.
Like an Uber bus?
Offer your services to like groups of people that don't want to, you know, they can't necessarily, they don't want to buy a, like a limo.
Yeah.
But say, hey, listen, I can put 20 of you in here, right? $20 a head, I'll take you down and come back. You make $400 with a trip down and back.
Maybe a little sports talk along the way?
Yeah, $20 gets you, $20, listen, it's basically, so if you're taking someone down and back,
yeah,
you're basically saying $10 a trip down and back. Just give me $20 if there's 20 of you, it's $400.
Yeah, Harry could become rich. What's your next move, Limits? I think, I feel like all the producers are trying to become either the next Donnie Football. He's become the leader of the producers. I don't think there's any doubt about
Donnie,
that.
Donnie, yes.
And you guys are all vying to get next in line, and I think Harry buying a bus would be a very bold move. How do you counteract that?
Yeah, I am not buying a bus or a van or anything soon. I just don't understand the purpose of the bus, other than if you're using it for like some type of work or something else.
Just to say I have a bus.
I don't know. I heard there's also a fan producer hot dog eating contest coming up for the 3rd of July.
Yeah, are you joining that?
Well, the first I heard of it was yesterday when Pony and Sean Myers were talking back and forth. So this is still a rumor to me.
Are you feeling it? Would you do it?
I don't think I could beat Callis.
Well, that's what Sean said yesterday. And Pony pointed out that somebody like Joey Chestnut is very slightly built. You don't have to be Callis.
It's
to eat
all
a bunch
in
of hot dogs.
Yeah,
it's technique.
It's technique
and willingness, toughness.
Willingness. Like, here's the thing, Joe. Could you put even one hot dog with a soaking wet bun?
Oh,
I don't know how you put that. I would throw up.
Yeah.
I honestly would throw up.
It's disgusting.
It is really, really disgusting.
Yeah.
What's my next move?
Well, why don't you think about that for a moment?
We should ponder.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Social media's biggest loser, Donnie Football, and I mean that as a compliment, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. And we're coming up on the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Paul, you have a new flow read coming up any minute as we get ready for Tex in the City to wrap up what's been a very, very eventful show. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. JP Roofing and Siding. Joe Potocnik and his mustache. I have seen it firsthand. I saw it at Foxburg. Up north of here, even north of Zelianopel, had a golf tournament Friday, myself and Jim Colony on a beautiful course, the longest continuously used golf course in the United States. It opened in 1887. Ron covered it for the Pittsburgh Telegraph and Bulletin back then. He sent in his story via Pony Express. I think City Limits. Ron wrote his story in a quill.
I thought a pigeon sent it over.
No.
Carrier pigeon.
What did they call those old pens they used? Like when they wrote
quills?
Yeah, quills. Yeah. Ron wrote that story in a quill. And yeah, he sent it via pigeon back to the Pittsburgh Telegraph. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/across America.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.